around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. David Langford here today. We'd like to welcome each of you to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Today is Tuesday. We want to welcome each of you today. If you were able to listen in yesterday, we spoke extensively on Israel. I forgot to mention it, but I encourage you to share that program with everyone that you can. And this program today on Hamstrung, if at all possible. I'm doing this program on the radio, even though I shared it on television and we put it up on YouTube, but I just felt the need to make sure everyone that has an opportunity can hear this message and this word that the Lord gave me. As I said yesterday, you know, maybe I'm just not spiritual enough like all these other guys. They just hear and prophesy from God every day. Unfortunately, I don't get that. I don't believe they do either. I think they make most of that stuff up. That's why it never comes to pass. It's their vain imaginations. When you have men prophesying that Trump would get two terms and then Mike Pence would get two terms, you know they're false prophets. Jesus said in Matthew 24:11, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." As I shared with you yesterday, how that Jesus began the Olivet Discourse, talking about deception, Matthew 23:4. "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass." We are not only hearing of rumor of war, we are witnessing war in the Middle East. What did Jesus say? Don't be troubled by what you're seeing. All these things must, let me emphasize, must come to pass, but the end is not yet. The end is not yet. It's coming. We're going toward the end of this particular dispensation of time. I just wish people would be more prayerful, more sincere, more humility, asking God to help them. You know, as I've said so many times, and I reiterate, and I share some of my personal spiritual experiences to let you know, if you pay the price, God will speak to you too. As I said back in May of 1994, when I stood in the pulpit in Charlotte, North Carolina on a Sunday morning, I said, "God, I am not going to eat a bite of food till you move in my life." I meant business with God. I had no idea that God was going to teach me the pre-tribulation rapture was a fallacy, and that his coming was post-trib. I had been taught pre-trib all my life. Those of you that get offended when I say that, that's okay. But if you will seek God, he will show you things. He will correct error in your life. Why? Because he loves you. He wants you to know the truth. Now, here's the problem. Are you willing to pay the price of rejection, castigation, and suffering if God shows you something different than what you were taught? As I've said many times, we don't like the making of sausage. We don't like the process. Think of the Apostle Paul. How adamant, how ardent, how unyielding he was in Judaism. Has an encounter with Jesus Christ. He throws all of that away and begins to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And the Israelites, The Jewish people were afraid of him. This guy's a murderer. He held the cloaks of those that stoned Stephen. He was that young man. You read there in Acts chapter 8. It was Paul, Saul at the time. But he had an encounter with God, and it revolutionized, it changed his life immeasurably. It just changed everything about him. There was nothing about Paul that was not changed or touched by the power of the Holy Ghost of God. It changed his life. It changed his life. And so it is here in the time of the end. If God is willing to show you things, are you willing to endure the suffering and the rejection? Are you going to embrace it? I had no idea the Church of God would come after me with such viciousness to take my license, to throw me out on the street. My wife was nearly 9 months pregnant at the time. See, that's what religious people do. They will kill you in the end. I know some of you don't believe that. There have been more wars over religion than anything else. People fight over their belief. Your job is to know the truth, and know the truth in a balanced dietary measure of God's word. You know, don't get way over here and way over there. Stay in the center. Stay balanced. God hates a false balance. That's what we see too much of today in the world, a false balance. We have to be so careful. I felt the need, because I did not teach this on the radio. There are a lot of people who listen to us. There are a lot of people who share the radio program, Rumble, YouTube, I don't know all the other venues, but I felt the need to share this. I got an email from my brother, Ed. He lives up, Massachusetts or New Hampshire, a retired highway patrolman, and he emailed me after I shared this message on television. He said, there's no way you could have known what was coming to Israel, and of course, I did not know. I just know what the Holy Spirit has spoken to my heart. It was September the 21st. It was a Thursday morning. I was preparing to go upstairs and study and pray. But as I was standing there, I was either brushing my teeth or shaving or whatever, and I heard these words, America is about to become hamstrung. It was just so plain. No, it was not an audible voice. It was a spiritual inner voice. I heard it. I knew what I heard. America is about to become hamstrung. And as quickly as I heard that, my mind went to 2 Samuel chapter 8, because about 3 years ago, I was going through 2 Samuel reading about David, his victories, and of course, his destruction after having committed adultery with Bathsheba. And I remember reading this particular passage because it struck me, because I'd read it many times, but I never bothered to take the time to find out what the word huffed meant. But I did a thorough study and a thorough research. So when the Lord spoke to my heart and said, America is about to become hamstrung, I knew then what it meant. I knew where to go to get direction and understanding, which I did. Now, I shared that word immediately with my wife. She was in the bedroom. I said, God just spoke to my heart. America is about to become hamstrung. She said, I had a dream last night. A very short dream, but a very vivid dream. And the dream, she said, we were surrounded by tornadoes. Tornadoes. She said the tornadoes did not come near us, but everything around us was chaotic. It was confusing. It was disaster. But she said it was as though we were huddled up. We were protected. That speaks to the church, the body. But the storms were everywhere. And so Friday morning after Thursday morning, which would have been September the 22nd, I was reading an article from the Washington Post regarding the possibility of a government shutdown. And the article used the word hamstring. Hamstring. And then over the weekend, I heard somebody else use that word. It might have been off of Fox News. I can't recall. But I knew with the confirmations what I heard was accurate. Let me go to 2 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. And after this, it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them. And David took Methegama out of the hand of the Philistines and smote Moab and measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground. Even with two lines measured he to put to death, and with one full line to keep alive. And so the Moabites became David's servants and brought gifts. David smote also Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, as he went to recover his border at the river Euphrates. And David took from him 1,000 chariots, 700 horsemen, 20,000 footmen, and David huffed all the chariot horses, but reserved of them for 100 chariots. That passage of Scripture was confirmation of what the Spirit of God placed in my heart. As I said, probably 3 years or so ago, I was thoroughly reading 2 Samuel. If you've never read that book, reread it. Or if you have, reread it. If you haven't, read it. When you read David, he's barefooted, he's weeping. He is a portrait. This is after Absalom is trying to destroy him. He is a portrait of Christ going to Golgotha. I won't get into all of that. I thought about teaching that particular chapter because that is one of the most profound prophetic chapters and insights that one could ever read about what would ultimately happen to Christ in his life. The 15th chapter of the book of 2 Samuel. If you want to go read that and get into that, and when you're reading it, look at it as David being a type of Christ. You'll get a different perspective that you've probably never had before. Some of you may have seen that. I'm not saying no one but me has seen that. Others have seen that, I'm sure. But when you read it, it gives you a glimpse of the coming Messiah. And it's very sad. It's very vivid. Made me cry when I understood what David was going through was a type, picture, portrait, shadow of Jesus Christ. So here in verse 1, 2 Samuel chapter 8, we see as David subdued a city. It was called Methegama. Methegama is a two-part word. Metheg speaks of power or government. Amma speaks of a mother city, which I feel represents Washington, D.C. America is about to become hamstrung. I'll be the first to admit, I cannot say to what degree and to how many different areas that our nation will be negatively affected. If our Congress stays in gridlock or hamstrung, who knows when we will get a Speaker of the House? Now, as I'm recording this, we don't yet have a Speaker of the House. Steve Scalise is unable to get the 217 votes. As I said yesterday, I don't know if Matt Gaetz from Florida, Nancy Mace from South Carolina, others, Andy Biggs, I don't know if they're going to get on board. I pray to God, Hakeem Jeffries, the minority whip in the Democratic Party, does not get the Speaker of the House. But I could see that happening. Wouldn't that be something? Would not that be something to have a Republican majority and a Democrat speaker? Listen, God has the ability to confuse the nation. He has the ability to hamstring Washington. Again, methigama. That is a two-part word. Methig speaks of power or government. Amma speaks of being a mother city. The mother city of Washington, of the United States would be Washington, D.C. So there are a lot of things here in this scripture passage that are very insightful, I believe, because it even speaks about a border. I mean, when I went back and reread this, I'm thinking, my Lord, how much is in these four verses that speaks to America right now, at this particular time? So I can see this gridlock causing us to become hamstrung, starting at the top and working its way down throughout our nation. I saw the other day where, I believe it was Japan, is getting rid of $900 billion in treasury notes. $1 trillion, you might say. $1 trillion. This is why we have not seen the extent of inflation. Think about all the material that we have sent to Ukraine. By the way, some of that equipment that Biden left in Afghanistan has already been found in Gaza. Hamas is using it against the Israelis. You got to remember, the Taliban, Hezbollah, Hamas, these are brothers. We have become a nation of mere fools. Our leadership is foolish. Joe Biden mutters, stumbles, falls. That is a portrait of America. Look at his eyes. They're almost closed. He went to sleep talking to the president of Israel, if I remember, some months ago. It may not have been the president of Israel. Bibi Netanyahu is the prime minister. The president of Israel really has no authority. It's a title and name only. It means nothing per se. But he's reading from the cards, the index cards, and he falls asleep reading the cards. This man is in bad shape. He's a portrait of America right now. And it is sad. It is tragic. Again, Washington, D.C. speaks as the mother city of America. We send representatives from all of the states to Washington to facilitate legislation, etc., for the welfare, the well-being of our nation as the mother city. But sadly, the mother city's become a harlot. Revelation 18 says, Mystery Babylon is the mother of harlots. You see the similarity there? You see the synchronicity there? It exists. It's corrupt. It is vile. I have no confidence in anyone in Washington, D.C., even, God bless him, Jim Jordan. I have no faith in any of these people. They're all compromised in some capacity. And the reason it's this way is because we've let it go too long. We've let it go too far. We didn't put our foot down when we should have. You're hearing more people talk about the Bill of Rights and the Constitution about, at a point in time, the citizens are to overthrow a government of tyranny. That would be nothing but bloodshed. But that's what happens when you let it go too far. When you let malignant cancer go too far, you're certain of death. The death of America, the coroner is about to sign the death certificate. If you did an autopsy on America after her demise, they would probably have one word to define the death of America. Corruption. Cause of death. Corruption. Capitalized. Cause of death on the coroner's report. Cause of death. Corruption. That would be the exact cause of our death. Don't let no one fool you. We're in bad shape. We're in heinous shape. And it's not just in Washington. It's in your state. It's in your county. It's in your city. This is a corrupt generation of people. There is a generation, Solomon said, that is pure in their own eyes, yet is not washed from their filthiness. Think of that. We are a generation of people that are pure in their own eyes, yet at the end of the day are not washed from their filthiness. That is so sad. That is so poor to think. People have become so deceived that they see themselves as being righteous and holy and godly, yet filthy. Proverbs 30 and verse 12. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. My. How filthy America has become. Looking here at verse 2, David smote Moab. He measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground. Even with two lines measured he to put to death, and with one line to keep alive. And so the Moabites became David's servants and brought gifts. A measuring line. David measured two lines in the ground. And with these two lines, he measured those who were going to be put to death. With the other line, he measured for those who would live. Don't you know those who were in the line of death had great fear and consternation in their hearts? Notice what it says here in verse 2, 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 2, and he, David, smote Moab and measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground. He made all of these men lie down on the ground. I assume militarily that was so no one could get up, get away, or anything of that nature. They also made those with that other one line, he made them lie down on the ground too. And he said, these will live and these will die. What I see there is judgment. For over the last 2 years, I have warned and warned and warned and warned. I pray to God, some have taken heed. Some have repented. Some have turned to God and got all of the garbage and all of the refuse out of their lives and became dedicated to Christ and Christ alone. God has been so merciful to warn this nation. I think about to my experience in 1994. I did not know of Dmitri Dudeman, never heard of Dmitri Dudeman, but he was already here in the States. I had never heard of Henry Groover. I had never heard of the vision of A.A. Allen. I had never heard of the vision of George Washington. But see, when God wants you to get to a particular place, a particular position, a particular posture, God knows how to get you there. Even if you're hard-headed, he can get you there. But what makes us change is by submitting ourselves to Christ, and the Holy Ghost, coupled with the Word of God, begin to form and fashion us into his image and into his likeness. In Genesis chapter 32, let me see if I can find that real quickly. Jacob is having an encounter with God, Jesus Christ. But Jacob had to get to a particular place. When he got to that particular place, he begins to wrestle with God. I find it amusing. I find it amazing. I marvel that Jacob wrestles a man who is God. And he's wrestling with him until the breaking of the day. I don't know how many hours, but think about this. It'd be like an adult man wrestling with a two-year-old. He could pick the child up, throw the child on the sofa, throw the child on the floor, throw the child in the chair. God could treat the child like a parent could treat a child like a toy. Yet God suffers Jacob to wrestle with him. Jacob, you want to wrestle? Yeah. Yeah, let's wrestle, Lord. The Bible said Jacob was left alone. He wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day, or as the sun was about to come up. And when he saw, he prevailed not against him. Now you got to know who the he is there. That's God. Now how is that? God cannot prevail? Sure he can prevail. But when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. The hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He made him tap out. He messed up his thigh, the hollow in his thigh, his hip bone. God said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." Jacob said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." Now, don't you know God could have, he could have took Jacob's life. I see this as somewhat humorous. God wrestling with a man and as though God cannot prevail, yet he can put his thigh, the hollow of his thigh, out of joint. He disjointed his hip. God's an amazing God. He said, what is your name? Like God doesn't know. He said, my name is Jacob. He said, thy name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. God let him prevail. And I love this closing phrase here. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And I love this phrase. And he blessed him there. Why am I telling you all of this? To get what you need from Jehovah, you've got to get there. Where is there? There is different for all of us. But if you want to receive what God has for you, you've got to get there. And I can't tell you where your there is, but I will tell you, you've got to get there. You've got to strive. You've got to contend. You've got to press. I've often found it amazing. God has given men their greatest blessings, their greatest insight, their greatest revelation in their very, very, very latter years. Some of you listening to me right now, you think, oh, God, have you missed me? No, he hasn't missed you. God, have you overlooked me? He hasn't overlooked you. You know, sometimes I look at myself, I say, David, you're still immature, you're still young, you have so much more to grow and so much more to learn, so much more to know. As the old body dies, it's as though God is then able to push our hip out of joint and help us. No doubt people ask Jacob, what caused your limp? Why do you limp like that, pal? He said, I wrestled with God. A perpetual limp, a perpetual sign up till the day he died. We got a big God. David measured three lines. Two lines were for death. One line was for life. Right now there are lines being drawn in America. There are lines being drawn in Israel. There are lines being drawn in Gaza. There are lines being drawn in China, Taiwan, Ukraine, Russia, Iran, Iraq, Lebanon, Syria, the West Bank. Lines are being drawn. You read the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. God gave him a reed like unto a rod. Let me share that quickly. Revelation chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise, measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. What was he told to do? Measure. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. They'll have control of the temple up to the very end. This reed for measuring was not to measure for construction. This reed given to John to measure was for measuring of destruction, how great the destruction would be. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 8, God, through David, draws two lines for death, something that was predetermined by God. One line, one single line was drawn for life. Let me say today, there are many lines. There are many ways that lead to death. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There are going to be people who die in the coming days. Already they're dying. The heinous death in Israel and Gaza. I'm telling you, this is going to get ugly. I don't say this to be a fear monger. I despise anyone that ever gets on radio or television and tries to sensationalize junk for the sake of overplaying their hand. I don't like that. That grieves my spirit. If it grieves my spirit, it surely grieves the Holy Ghost of God. But they want to do that as though they're somebody great. Well, I'm not great. I'm not anything. I'm just a man that God happened to call to preach. And because I'm called to preach doesn't merit me anything. I don't get any extra things because I'm called. I'm just like anyone else. I've just been called to preach and seek God and seek His face. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. When David laid those men down on the ground and drew the two lines, I don't know if they knew it, but I know David knew it. Those men would die. That other one line, it was a line that says this is a lifeline. This is a lifeline. You'll live. Rest of you, you're going to die. As I was searching and studying this out, I went to Romans 6 and 21. Listen to this passage. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things are death. The word fruit there speaks of results. So let me quote it this way. What results had ye then, and those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things, or the end of those results, are death. All of us that once were lost without God, I backslid on God, I drifted away from God. There were no results, lasting fruit or good results, in my past life. After I backslid on God, there were no wholesome fruits. There were no lasting results. And I'm ashamed of that. Because the end of those things are death. I was headed to death. I was on my way to death. If you're not serving the Lord today, you're on your way to death and destruction and lost without God. Everything taking place in America is bringing about our national demise, destruction, and death. There will be no positive results in the path that America has chosen. There will be no lasting results, there will be no fruit, there will be nothing positive concerning the path that America has chosen. Can you imagine this? People cast their lot with Joseph Biden. That's who they cast their lot with. What did they do? They cast their lot with death. I hear people saying, this is not what we voted for. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You voted for death. You voted for abortion. You voted for open borders. You voted for all of this stuff. And now, we're in a dangerous, dangerous state. The word line here in the Hebrew, if you look up the word line, it's number 2256 in your Strong Exhaustive Concordance. It means destruction, pain, ruin, snare, and sorrow. I believe America presently is in the throes of a life and death struggle. Remember what Joe Biden said repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. What did he say? We are battling for the soul of this nation. And he and his administration has all but damned America. That's right. That's right. These corrupt, immoral, vile, evildoers. Read just the other day where the judge dropped Hunter's gun charges. We're battling for the soul of this nation, and the devil in hell has almost seized control of the soul of this nation. There's such little life left in America. Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We cannot get out of this without the hand of God. You can't vote your way out. You can't legislate your way out. We have to turn to Almighty God, and God is the only hope, the only source, the only way to get out of this mess. And if we don't turn to God nationally, the coroner's report will say, cause of death, corruption. Corruption. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, and let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he shall abundantly pardon. God will pardon our sins if we ask for forgiveness. If we do not, there will be no pardon of our sins. This is not rocket science. This is not difficult. He will pardon if we ask for forgiveness, if we will repent. So many people today, number one, they refuse to repent. Hardly any preacher preaches repentance, preaches against sin, preaches against the evils of this nation. They won't say anything. Why would you listen? Why would you listen to a man who never challenges you spiritually? It's nothing but garbage to perpetually challenge you in your money, your wallet. That's disgusting. Jesus said, if you gain the whole world, if you were so prosperous, you were able to gain the whole world, what would it profit you if you lost your soul? What shall you give in exchange for your own soul? Second Samuel 8, verse 3. David also smote Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, as he went to recover his border at the river Euphrates. That spoke volumes to me. I had forgotten that passage in that scripture text. He went to do what? He went to recover his border at the river Euphrates. But you know what David did? He killed him. He smote him. He kept him from recovering his border. Is God going to hamstring America and we can't even shut down our border? I don't know. I just thought it was so uncanny. And that when I was reading this about being hamstrung, I had forgotten that passage about he went to recover his border, but he couldn't recover it. God can stop America from succeeding. Did you know this? Little caveat here. 60 Minutes a few weeks ago upset the world, especially the liberals. They reported untold billions and billions of dollars are going to Ukraine to pay the salaries of 57,000 first responders. America bought all the seed and the fertilizer for Ukraine. America is underwriting, funding small businesses and their pension plans, while most of us here in America are being crippled by inflation. The strategic petroleum reserves have not been replenished. I think I shared this weeks ago. For $20 a barrel, Trump could have replenished them. Schumer said, no, that's too much of a windfall for the petroleum industry. I'm telling you today, there are so many avenues where this nation can become hamstrung, it begs description. Have you not read last week where Walgreens, all the pharmacists are walking off the job? I don't know what it's about, but they're walking off. Our nation is becoming hamstrung by the moment. Let me finish up. 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 4, and David took from him, Hadadezer, 1,000 chariots, 700 horsemen, 20,000 footmen, and David huffed all the chariot horses, but reserved of them for 100 chariots. So he cut the hamstring on 900 horses. Now, again, the word huffed here means David cut their hamstrings. When David had those hamstrings cut on those 900 horses, he kept 100 horses for chariots. But once you cut the hamstring of a horse, it is only good basically for agricultural purposes. The horse cannot run. The horse cannot run and pull a chariot. The horse cannot be used in military operations. It is hamstrung. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, America is about to become hamstrung. Hamstrung. The metaphor or the symbolism of being huffed or hamstrung means to cripple, to be limited by an external burden in a way that prevents full freedom of movement or the utilization of one's resources. At the end of the day, it means to be incapacitated. When I looked up that definition, hamstrung, to be crippled, is God about to allow this nation to become crippled? To be limited because of some external burden, something externally, negatively affects this nation in a way that prevents full freedom of movement. Can we not travel? Can we not go? Is there no commerce? To prevent full freedom of movement and the utilization of one's resources. Are we going to be incapacitated in some measure, some degree, that we cannot get to our resources? I don't know. I just know what the Holy Spirit put in my heart. My greatest concern right now is that an external event could limit our freedoms and our resources. Satan wants to destroy America. Don't think for one moment. The sleeper cells are in America. The sleeper cells are in America. And depending on what we do in the Middle East will determine whether they unleash chaos in this nation. But I believe no matter what, America is about to become hamstrung. Be wise. Be prudent. Seek the counsel of God. Seek the counsel of God. Don't toy with God. Don't play with God. Don't have one foot in and one foot out. You get committed to Christ as you've never been committed before. Psalms 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. That is the faithfulness of God. In Psalms 1:6, David said, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Those are your two lines. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. That's the line of death. He knoweth the way of the wicked. The ungodly shall perish. That's the line of death. He knows, because he's the one who draws the line in the sand, the line in the earth. He draws those lines. He draws those boundaries. I think about all the wickedness that has crossed this border. Isaiah 1:7, your land, strangers devour it in your presence. You're watching it being devoured and being destroyed. And we've not seen the final results of this. These people aren't coming here to acclimate, to become outstanding United States citizens. They've come to destroy us. They have captured men from Iran, Afghanistan, Chinese nationalists. They've caught people, terrorists. Why are these people coming? They're coming for our destruction. They're coming for our demise. They're coming because they hate us. You see, they realize if you can take out America, you can destroy Israel. Yes, this is their hope. If America is out of the picture, they believe they will destroy Israel. Let me share a passage today from Jeremiah chapter 4 in closing. Beginning at verse 16, make ye mention to the nations, behold, publish against Jerusalem, that watchers come from a far country and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. That's America. Watchers, they're here in America. They come from a far country and they give out their voice against the cities of Judah or against America. They're telling us about the cities of this nation. They're giving this information to their nations. As keepers of a field are they against her round about, because she hath been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. In other words, you have keepers. That means there's watchers in the field. They're watching America. They're planning for America. They are against her round about, because she hath been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. And watch this, Jeremiah 4 and 18. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things against thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter. because it reacheth unto thy heart. My bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled, and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. That's America. In Jeremiah, he's lamenting, he's weeping, he's broken. I cannot hold my peace because thou hast heard, O my soul. He heard in the Holy Ghost. He heard in the Spirit the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. God is sounding the alarm. Are you listening? Please share these programs, yesterday and today's, with everyone you can. I may pick up next week back in Psalms 37. We're in a very dangerous time. Again, I'm not here to frighten you. I'm not here to scare you. I'm not here to do any of that. But I am certainly here to stir your heart and stir your soul. I'm here to stir you in a very, 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 very special and powerful way. You need to be stirred, my friend. You need to be stirred. We all need to be stirred. If we're not being stirred, we're messing up. Again, please, I humbly ask you to share yesterday, today's program with everyone that you can. I don't know what tomorrow may bring forth. I do know who holds tomorrow in his hand. God is faithful to his redeemed. Lift up your eyes unto the hills, from which cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. God bless you. Thank you for your prayers, your love and support. Thank you for standing with us and helping us do what we do to reach the world. I'm praying, God, give me souls all over the world here in the time of end. God bless you. I'll see you next week. You have a wonderful week, what's left of it. God bless you all.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.